20-year-old Nathaniel Young was from London. Another UK citizen is missing after the violence. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has warned people living in Gaza to leave after vowing to turn parts of the territory to rubble in retaliation. Palestinian ambassador to the UK, Hussein Zomlot, wants an Arab League meeting to enforce international law, including on Israel.
This is a system of racial domination on the top of a military occupation, compounded by colonization. Pure racism. The Palestinian people have the right to defend themselves.
At least 2,000 people have been killed in western Afghanistan after several powerful earthquakes. More than 9,000 others are injured. A magnitude 6.3 quake struck near the country's fourth largest city of Herat. Dr. Shapur Muhib works at its hospital.
The injured have been transported to the hospital by the government and Herat private ambulances. The hospital gave them medicine and medical kits are available for them. Unfortunately, we are still receiving injured people from the centre.
Labour's deputy leader Angela Rayner has kicked off the party's conference in Liverpool by ridiculing Rishi Sunak. She said that Britain is broken because of the Tories' wrecking ball. People in northern Scotland are being warned there's still a risk to life from severe flooding. Relentless rain began yesterday and continued all night, causing travel disruption on roads and railways. Wilko is shutting its final 41 shops today after collapsing into administration in August. And in sport, Liverpool are just kicking off away at Brighton in the Premier League. Rangers are up to second in the Scottish Premiership after beating 10-man St Mirren 3-0. That's the latest. I'm Tanya Snuggs.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Hello, hello everyone. Vicky Michelle here with some more Vic's Mix on Phoenix 98 FM. And of course, the fabulous Paul Golder is here to twiddle the, flashing knobs. How are you, Paul?
I'm very well, thank you, Vicky. How are you?
Well, fabulous as always. Thanks to Tony for a brilliant show as always. We've got some great tracks lined up this week. And as always, there's plenty to chat about. I mean, what about this fabulous weather, Paul? Do you know what? It's at least 3 degrees warmer than last week. So let's start with the 3 degrees. Dirty Old Man.
Mess around with some
was Dirty Old Man, The Three Degrees, 1973, and I'm playing it for Sheila Ferguson's birthday, which is today, and she is a really lovely lady. Now, I'm playing this record. Now, this has nothing to do with you, Paul, just to establish.
Oh, yeah, thanks for clarifying, yeah.
But, oh, Sheila Ferguson, she's, well, a lot of you know that I lost my sister recently, and she sent me a lovely message. Mm. Yeah, she's such a lovely lady. And they've had various lineups over the years, but the most successful of the Three Degrees from 67 to 76, Fayette Pinckney, Valerie Holiday and Sheila Ferguson, with Sheila singing lead. And they earned themselves the nickname Charlie's Angels. Did you know that, Paul? Yeah,
they were very famously at the time, they were Prince Charles's favourite group, weren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they yeah. are. They yeah. still are, aren't they? Still,
probably, yeah.
And they appeared at his 30th birthday party along with Nancy Reagan. No, them and Nancy Reagan were the only American guests at his wedding to Princess Diana. Apart from being a brilliant singer, Sheila's career has seen her star in numerous stage productions, including Fame, Thoroughly Modern Millie, Daddy Cool and Chicago. She's been in Brookside. She was in The Desmonds, the sitcom, and also she was in the film The French Connection.
Oh,
now I've got to watch that again so I can spot where she
yeah.
is.
she was also in the Real Marigold Hotel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She came over to that. Oh, she's great.
I haven't seen your notes. So I thought I'd just
No, don't. I loved her in that.
She was brilliant.
Yeah, she was brilliant. John Altman was in with her, wasn't
he? That's right.
Yeah. It was a really good lineup. Mm. I do love that Marigold. Are they doing it again?
I think so, yeah.
The last one was really good.
Brilliant TV.
And she was a guest on Les Dawson's first ever Blankety Blank. I used to do that with Les. He was great.
Yeah.
But now we've got Bradley Walsh at the moment doing Blankety Blank. And also, reality-wise, she's been in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here and The Real Marigold. And also, she starred in numerous pantomimes, including Dick Whittington at the Gordon Craig, where I am the patron, which leads me into... Where are you doing panto this week, this year, Vicky? I am from the 15th to the 31st of December. I'm going to be playing Carabosse with Twist and Pulse as my henchman, Mike Squeaky McLean, very funny, as the jester, and Gavin Ashbury as the dame, and Jazzy Phoenix as the princess who plays Nadine in EastEnders. So I'm really looking forward to that, and it's at the Regent Theatre in Ipswich.
Local.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Way.
Yeah, it's our way. Thank God. I could never get home for Christmas. I might be able to get home for Christmas this year, which is brilliant. Okay, shall we play an average white band number? Mm. I love this. Cut the Cake.
You know what I mean? some sugar now. Tastes nice.
Cut the Cake, Average White Band, 1975. Mm. How brilliant is that?
That is good, yeah.
I love that. Mm. I was booging on down. Paul was moving his hips there. And I'm playing it for guitarist Hamish Stewart's birthday, which is today. So I hope you're cutting the cake today, Hamish. And obviously, Paul loves this song because in the middle of it, he went, yay! So I thought, oh, he loves this song. But actually, he was yaying because why, Paul?
Oh, because West Ham are, as they usually do now, they play live during our live show, and West Ham are leading 1-0, yeah. Which is great news because they're playing Newcastle, and we're expecting to get not a good result from against Newcastle because they're playing really well. But West Ham are taking the lead 10
screaming.
Minutes.
Screaming. Oh, God, he loves this record, no. But actually, well, more about this song. The song was nominated for a Grammy Award in 1976, but lost out to Shining Star by Earth, Wind and Fire. Oh, that would have been a tough one, both of those, yeah. And the Average White Band first came to the fore as a support act for Eric Clapton's comeback tour in 1973. And Clapton's tour manager, Bruce McGaskill, liked them so much he became their manager. And the only band members touring at the moment is Owen McIntyre and Alan Gorey, and they are currently touring America, and their UK tour starts in April 24th. Hmm. I'd like to see them. No, I love them. I mean, as a kid, one of my favourite bands. No,
they've got a lot of... They've got amazing fan base around the world. And I always used, when I was younger, I always used to think there was some kind of, like, Afrobeat band, the way that they play the music. And as you probably could work out from the names that you read out, they're from Glasgow.
Yeah.
They're all Scots, aren't they?
Yeah. Great music, though.
It is, yeah.
Okay. Shall we play next? Let's do Uptown Funk. Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars.
Go. Do 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 do
do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman. I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. And my band bought that money. Break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch.
we gon' show out. Smoother than a fresh drop. Skip it.
I'm too hot. Call the police and the firemen. I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Bitch, say my name. You know who I am. I'm too hot. And my band bought that money. Break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe me, just watch. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. I said uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you sexy and flown it. If you freak dead and own it. Don't brag about it, come show me. Come on, dance. Jump on it if you've sexed and flown it.
Well, it's Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe me, just watch. Come on.
Was the brilliant Uptown Funk, Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars. And I'm playing it for Bruno Mars' birthday, which is today. It was a UK number one. And it went through numerous changes. We recorded at multiple different venues, took months to complete. It ultimately was a number one hit worldwide. It's a brilliant song. I'm worn out. There's two of them. Two dancing. This is the workout. Also, Bruno started performing as an Elvis impersonator at the age of four on Waikiki Beach. He was known as Little Elvis, but he claims now that he's mostly influenced by whom, do you think?
I would have guessed, judging just by that one record alone, Michael Jackson.
Correct.
Is it?
Yeah, it is Michael Jackson. And as well as singing, Bruno plays drums, keyboard, bass and guitar. Mm. Multi-talented. And his Bruno Mars is his stage name. His real name is Peter Hernandez. And his stage name is derived from wrestler Bruno San Martino because he was strong. Mm. And he chose Mars. Why did he choose the surname?
Why did he choose Mars? He must have just been he must have liked Mars bars.
No.
No?
Good answer, though.
Surely.
No. He chose Mars as a surname because girls used to say he was out of this world. Hence Mars after the planet. Ego then.
That's quite corny, isn't it? Quite corny.
And he's currently on a world tour. Okay, let's play a Millie number. I love this. It's old, but I love it. My Boy Lollipop. was My Boy Lollipop, Millie, 1964, was a UK number two, and I'm playing it for what would have been Millie's birthday, which would have been on the 6th of October. It was released in the UK when Millie was just 17, and it was originally written for the R&B genre, but this reggae ska version proved far more popular. Producer Robert Blackwell deliberately made the song shorter than it really was to make you want to play it again. That's a clever one, right?
Yeah,
and it's short, and you can sing along to it. And the ploy worked, making it a multi-million seller worldwide. That's clever.
That's what you used to do when you were younger, because you bought a 7-inch single and then you played it. And you think, what should I do now? I'm going to play it again. And again, and
because
again.
Because it was short.
Yeah.
And also you can sing along with it. And there's some great harmonica playing on there, wasn't there? And did I not see something on the news about Mick Jagger with his harmonicas? What's he doing? Is he selling them?
Mick Jagger has a branded harmonica called Harmonica Edition 2, which he's selling on his website.
Oh, great.
And
okay.
I mean, how much would you pay for a harmonica?
I don't know. How much is it?
Well, you can get them on Amazon for about £10.
Okay.
And I remember years ago I bought one for about, I don't know, probably a fiver from Wales Music Stores in Romford,
can
long gone.
Can you play the harmonica?
And a little bit, little bit.
Oh, well, you'd have to bring it in. Okay, that's it.
Oh, God. If I can find it. We're talking about a long time ago. I was still at school and I bought one. Anyway, right, the basic harmonica on Mick Jagger's website with Mick Jagger's name on it, $59.99. Okay.
Bargain.
You can buy a two-box set for two. So this is basically a box with two of them in it. $299.99.
How does that work?
Someone's not good at maths. And also you can get a Mick Jagger harmonica with a signed art print for the bargain price of £700.
Wow.
Not $699.99, but $700. They've gone for the big one this time.
They've gone for the big one.
So this is how rich people stay rich, I would guess, really, because someone's obviously buying
but
these.
But people want a Mick Jagger. I mean, it is Mick Jagger, isn't it?
It's kind
it's
of,
It's a
yeah.
one-off.
It's weird, because it's red, because all harmonicas are usually silver, aren't they? And this is a red harmonica with the words Mick Jagger scrawled as if it was by a graffiti artist in black on
and
it.
And why not? Because you know I'm a big Rolling Stones fan. Why not? Well, if you want one, you can get one.
Oh, I'm glad I'm missing your birthday this year.
I'm not going to be here. I'll be in Banjo. Okay, what should we play next? Should we do a Queen number?
Okay.
This is Killer Queen.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. Anthony cake, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. A building, a remedy for Christian and Kennedy. And at a time, an invitation you can't decline. Caviar, cigarettes, well-versed in etiquette. Extraordinarily nice. She's a killer queen, gunpowder, jetty, dynamite with a laser beam. To blow your mind. Ooh, recommended at the price. Insatiable and appetite. Wanna try? To avoid complications, she never kept the same address. In conversation, she spoke just like a baroness. Middleman, try now and down to gauge your mind. Because she couldn't care less, fastidious and precise. She's a killer queen, gunpowder, gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam, guaranteed to blow your mind. Temporarily out of action, temporarily out of class. You're absolutely right. She's out to get you. She's a killer queen, gunpowder, gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam. insatiable an appetite.
One try.
Okay, that was Killer Queen by Queen, 1974, UK number two, written by Freddie Mercury. It was from the album Sheer Heart Attack. And this song was the band's first major breakthrough on the worldwide charts. Brian May considers it one of Freddie's greatest songs, brilliantly constructed, the perfect pop record, and with one of the guitar solos he is most proud of. Freddie was more hesitant about it, considering it to be a much lighter departure from the sound they usually created. Also, Katy Perry named one of her fragrances after this. Killer Queen. But the reason I'm playing it is because I watched a documentary featuring Queen at Live. It was all about Freddie's life, but they had this featured bit when they were at Live Aid. And they just said when Freddie went on, he stole the show. And he said they were all backstage going, "He's stolen it. He's got it. That's it." Which he did.
Yeah, that's what everyone said at the time as well.
Yeah. Deserved it. Oh, my God. He had the audience in the palm of his hand. Mm. And it was just, the doco was really just how I think he loved the audience and they loved him.
Mm.
And that just came over and he had this, like, sort of connection with them. It was really, really good doco. Mm. But Queen are in the news again this week because the music of Queen will feature in a stage musical adaptation of the 1985 Live Aid concert. And it's set to premiere on the London stage at the Old Vic on the 26th of January next year. And it will run until the 30th of March, with a likely transfer to the West End and Broadway on the cards. I should think so.
Mm.
The musical will be called Just for One Day. And it's going to include music by Sir Paul McCartney, Sir Elton John and David Bowie as well. And Sir Bob Geldof gave his seal of approval on the show this week. And it was Sir Bob's birthday this week, which was on the 5th of October. And 10% of the ticket sales will go to the Band Aid Charitable Trust. That's really nice. The show has been written by John O'Farrell, one of the writers behind the musical Mrs. Doubtfire, currently playing in the West End to great acclaim. Have you seen that yet, Paul?
No, I haven't seen it.
It looks good. I mean, it does really look good. But that's really interesting. Mm. So, I want to go and see the Queen musical.
It sounds good. And for a band that have been they haven't released any new records for years and years and years, obviously. They have a lot of news going on. They're always doing something. You know, they've always got some, you know, new play or a book or some performance
Saving
or something.
Animals.
Yeah. They're always in the news, aren't they?
Yeah. Always. That's because they're brilliant. It was really interesting how they put things together. And, you know, when they were doing the operatic song, what's that?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Is this the real thing? And the guy's going, "No, this will never work. No. And it was huge, absolutely.
It was Kenny Everett that made that hit, because he got it on the show and he was told not to play it.
Yeah,
and he played it over and over again.
Because it was too long, wasn't it?
Yeah, 6 minutes.
But they
minutes,
wanted
yeah.
it that yeah. length, as opposed to Millie's that was short.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just lovely watching all of the stories about him. Okay. And I think everyone loved him anyway. He's someone you loved.
Someone you loved.
I better play that. Lewis Capaldi.
I'm going on during this time. I fear there's no one to save me. This all and nothing really got away. You're driving me crazy. I need somebody to hear, somebody to know, somebody to have, somebody to hold. It's easy to say, but it's never the same. I guess I kinda like the way you numbed all the pain. Now the day bleeds into nightfall, and you're not here to get me through. Someone you love. this time I feel there's no one to turn to. This all and nothing way of loving, gonna be sleeping without you. Now I need somebody to know, somebody to hear, somebody to have, just to know how it feels. It's easy to say, but it's never the same. I guess I kinda like the way you help me escape. Now the day bleeds into nightfall, and you're not here to get me through it all. I let my guard down, and then you pulled the rug. I was getting kinda used to being someone you loved, and I tend to close my to nightfall. You're not here to get me through it all. I let my guard down, and then you pulled the rug. I was getting kinda used to being someone you love, but now the day bleeds into nightfall. You're not here to get me through it all. I let my guard down, and then you pulled the rug. I was getting to be it so what you love, to let my guard down and let you pull the rug. I was getting kinda used to being so what you love.
That was Someone You Loved, Lewis Capaldi, 2018, playing it for Lewis Capaldi's birthday, which was on the 7th of October. This was the biggest selling UK song of 2018 and a UK number one. He learned to play the guitar at the age of 9 and began his career singing in pubs in 2017. A year later, he was supporting Sam Smith on tour and headlining at Shepherd's Bush Empire, a 2,000-seater venue to sell out capacity. And he took 6 months to write this, recording it onto his phone as he went. The video for this stars Lewis's second cousin. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, this is Peter Capaldi, correct, of all people, which makes sense because it's two Scottish guys with the Italian surname of Capaldi.
Who is Peter Capaldi?
He was Doctor Who.
Exactly. Amongst other doctors. Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah.
Okay. But sadly, Lewis was forced to withdraw from his Glastonbury performance earlier this year as a result of ill health. His fans finished this song for him as he was overtaken on stage by a severe bout of Tourette's syndrome. I didn't even know he suffered from Tourette's syndrome. You know, and that's really harsh. And but he made a TV documentary on his mental health struggles called How I'm Feeling Now, which recently won him a National Television Award. And he claimed the award blew him away. I mean, he's very brave. But you interviewed him, didn't you?
Yeah, I was. I mean, he had a stratospheric rise to fame. And I was lucky enough to catch him on the way up, because I don't think, you know, station our size would probably not get close to him now. You know, the manager's like, oh, no, Radio 1, and that's it. But I interviewed him at a festival in Chelmsford when he was supporting, around about the time he was supporting Sam Smith. And he just came out of nowhere. And, you know, suddenly he had these massive crowds of, you know, going to all his gigs. And I interviewed him. He was a lovely guy. He was really, really friendly. Had all the time in the world to chat with us. He was extremely relaxed. He was very funny as well, and very accomplished. He was only about, I don't know, 20, 21 or something at the time. Nice. And he was a good guy. Yeah, really liked him. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's nice. Nice to hear he's really a nice person. And who else were we supposed to be?
Who didn't we interview today?
Well, there was a rumour that where Jimmy White was going to be popping in.
Well,
they're playing over the road, aren't they?
Well, literally, it's a couple of doors away. Yeah. We're at the Brentwood Centre, and there's a major snooker tournament, the English Open, which takes place now in Brentwood. It's the second year it's been here. And I normally stay away from snooker players because I've got a bit of history with snooker.
Yeah, you managed.
I managed several snooker players in a previous incarnation. Yeah, I did.
Including
Ronnie O'Sullivan, who then became a presenter here on Phoenix for 3 years.
Did he just get knocked out?
Yeah, he did. Recently. Yeah, he got knocked out by a Chinese guy who I managed when he was only 18.
Like brilliant.
50, because I gave all that up over 10 years ago. But I managed Ronnie O'Sullivan and Judd Trump and Neil Robertson.
Not a lot of people know this.
Yeah, it was...
That Paul Golder... managed all these fabulous snooker players.
And gave them financial advice as well. Yeah, it's good. Quite funny thinking about it. But Keith Ball, who's here on Saturday mornings, you know Keith, Keith was coming in and he saw Jimmy White outside. And it's like, oh, Jimmy, come in and do my show. He goes, oh, I can't do the show, but maybe I can do something tomorrow. Ask someone to get in touch with me. So Keith rang me up and he says, I've just spoken to Jimmy White. And I'm going through my phone and go, oh, well, I'll give him a call. I've still got his number in my phone from 15 years ago because that was the last time I met him. And so I rang him up. I said, hello, Jimmy, it's Paul Golder. And he's like, oh, yeah, hello, how you doing? Didn't know what I wanted. So anyway, he said, I'll come in today, but I need to know what my schedule is and see how much spare time I got because I'm doing stuff with Eurosport.
Yeah.
And I rang him today.
And then you rang me.
And then I rang him today.
We might be interviewing. I went, snooker's not my bag.
I know. And I said, I don't want to talk about snooker.
It would have been interesting because I swatted on him and it was really interesting.
He would have been great to talk about anything other than snooker because everyone knows all about the snooker, but he's a great personality, a Londoner.
There's so many near misses with him.
Six times he was beaten in the world final.
Not a lot of people know this.
Right.
But I actually met him back in the day when they were doing a big break special for Children in Need.
Oh, right.
And that was the big break that was Jim Davison's show.
Mm.
It was hosted by Jim Davison and John Virgo. So we were all there raising money for Children in Need. And and my Louise and Tom and Chris, two other friends, Nikki's kids, were there in the front row watching. And Frank Carlson kept swearing. as he did, the Irish. And Jim Davison kept telling him to shut up because there were children on the front row. So Jim Davison was stopping people swearing. But the snooker players there with me, this is quite a long time ago, was John Parrott, Jimmy White, but then Frank Carlson was there, Frank Bruno was there, and John Higgins, another snooker player. Mm. And I had to do a trick shot, and I did it. I think they let me, but I did it and they didn't. Maybe they let me.
Excellent.
Yeah, but...
I don't think you can fake a trick shot. You can either do it or you can't.
No,
so they must have done it for you.
But
yeah,
Frank Carson was like so funny. And Rose Marie, my mate, the singer, she always jokes about, I'm Frank Carson's love child. I'd love to get her on, play some of her music. Anyway, it's sad we didn't get him on, but
another time.
Yeah.
Next year, maybe.
But great memories. Okay, what shall I play next? Shall I do a Bon Jovi number? This is You Give Love a Bad Name.
We'll be right back.
That was You Give Love a Bad Name, Bon Jovi, 1986, written by Desmond Child, John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora. And I'm playing it for drummer Tico Torres's birthday, which was on the 7th of October. The trio wrote this in the basement of Richie Sambora's mum's house, and it was originally intended for the group Loverboy, but Bon Jovi and Sambora liked it so much they kept it for themselves. This featured on the album Slippery When Wet, which became a global phenomenon, selling over 28 million copies worldwide. That's huge.
Mm.
It was their breakthrough album. Did you know, not a lot of people know this, but John Bon Jovi has dabbled in the culinary world.
Oh.
Yes. He has opened several successful restaurants, including Soul Kitchen, which provides meals for those in need. That's really nice.
No, that's good, actually. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and he does a great deal for charity generally. And amongst other things, founded the John Bon Jovi. It's a tongue twister, isn't it? John Bon Jovi Foundation, which focuses on providing affordable housing for those in need. And he also loves his sport.
Oh,
American
right.
Football and everything. Which leads me into, how's West Ham doing?
Oh, well,
You haven't screamed.
Still 1-0. Just coming up to half-time.
What do you do? 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, yeah. 1-0.
Hanging on.
Okay, let's play a three number. This is Fox on the Run. Sweet, 1974. It was written by the band, and it was UK number two. Their lineup is Brian Connolly, Steve Priest, Andy Scott, and Mick Tucker. He was so pretty, Brian Connolly, wasn't he?
Mm.
So pretty with that long blonde hair, and everyone used to wear makeup. The boys used to wear makeup then, didn't they? It was a great song. Yeah. And I'm playing it for what would have been Brian Connolly's birthday, which would have been on the 5th of October. Sadly, no longer with us. But I love that song.
That was, yeah.
And I love my foxes. Because I think they're costing me a fortune.
That, that was a song that came about because it was a little bit sort of heavier than some of their other songs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was one of the first songs I remember listening to on the radio quite a lot, you know, it's when I was starting to get really aware of music. And I loved that song back in the day. Yeah, I was only about 7 or 8 or something.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm still only like 21 now, but
I'm
you know.
35. Mentally. Okay, should we do some shout outs?
Okay.
Okay, I've got a shout out for Andy Nation. He's swimming the English Channel today as part of the world record relay swim with a group of people whose average age is 77 years and 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Yay! Well done, all you lot. They're swimming for Essex and Hertfordshire Air Ambulance. Great charity. And are hoping to complete the swim in 20 hours. And you can sponsor them on www.teddingtontocalais2012.org.uk. But, yeah, good luck with that. And the average year, 20 hours. That's good.
That's very good,
I don't know
how
many there is. But good luck with that, Andy Nation. Shout out to Beverly Knight, who likes the show, my lovely friend. Spencer Gibbons, he wants me to play his record. I'll have a listen to that again, Spence. John George, Jumpers for Goalposts, says, have a super show and a great time, Mrs. M and Paul. You, Doran, fabulous show. Paul Lavers likes the show. I used to work with him when I used to tour. Yeah?
Mm.
Hello, Paul. Ruby Snape loves the show. Great actress. Worked with her as well. Ken Wiseman, Sunday is fun day with gorgeous Vicky. Ah, thanks. Be there or be square. I love that. Chris Dussettler says, hopes have a good show. WW Slobberknocker has said, when am I going back to EastEnders? I'm waiting to hear. Colin 2401 says, bit early to dress like a pumpkin, but snazzy all the same. Colin, it's because I got that orange jacket on.
Yeah, last week, yeah.
Well, made me laugh. I forgive you, Colin. Rich Nightingale says, always brilliant entertainment. Steve D, great show. McFarlane 94, I like listening to you on a Sunday. You make my Sunday so much better. Oh, that's lovely. Lexi Allen, I'll be listening. Andrew Pickard, have a great show. Stuart Webster, have a great show. Paul Drew, good luck with the show. Craig Robinson, I'll be there. Pete Dawson, good luck with the show. And then we've got J.W. Bentley says, great, me and my drums, good luck with the show. Gavin Dalton says, can you do a calendar for 2024? This is with all my photos. Especially my orange pumpkin, which will be known as pumpkin jacket from now on. And Kevin Baker says, love that jacket, sweetie. Thank you, Kevin. He doesn't think I look like a pumpkin. It's a bit early.
Well, if he did, he kept it to himself.
Yeah, a bit early for Halloween, yeah. A1 third base says, orange suits you. That's lovely. And we've got lovely comments from Andy Davis, John Matthews, Snowy, Paul Rogers, Dennis Grant, Phil Parry, Abbas Remat, Phil Seddon, Tim Smith, Martin Paulman, Christopher Carlson, Rick Bayer and Philip Booker. And you've got some shout-outs there as well.
Yeah, so hello
to... lovely people. Okay.
Hello too. The following: Adrian Knight, Alan Fox, Sandy Bilby, Susie Allison, David McGurty, Napoleon Solo, Matt L, Colm O'Brien, Derek Norton, Eugene Murphy, John Whiting, Roger Woods, Adrian Davis, Kevin Baxter, Laurie Bowden, Writer Dawn M, Luke Davis, John Saunders, M Murphy, Morphic Fields, Hazel Stokes, Mac 99 Racing, Ken Jeffs, Natalie, GBP George, Michael Stevenson, Nikki Goddard, James Brogan, Dave 5797, Emil Egholm, John Elf, Craig Pilling, William Callaghan, Derry Sylvia, Lindsay Alexander, Nettie Ennie, Burnley Fanzine, Mary Boyd, Ian Brown, Michael Byrne, Sasa Batanich, Bradley Maxwell, Kevin Taylor, Keith Blair, Syed Zamon, Ricky Bobby, John Paul, Bradley Thompson, Di Turner, Evening Star, and Mark in Bletchley.
Thank you all for listening. You're all fabulous. Okay, shall we play a Boney M number now?
Oh, yes.
I love this. Daddy Cool.
She's crazy like a fool.
What about Daddy Cool?
Daddy Cool, Boney M, 1976. It was UK number six. And I'm playing that because it was Bobby Farrell's birthday. It would have been his birthday on the 6th of October. And also for John Edwards, who hasn't been well recently, and he loves Boney M. So that's for you, John. Hope you're feeling better. The song's co-writer, Frank Farian, was the mastermind behind Boney M. Not only did he put the band together, but sang lead on many of the recordings. So did Bobby Farrell sing lead as well?
There might have been... I think there were rumours going around that that he wasn't singing, but... But Frank Farian went on to manage... he put together Milli Vanilli.
Oh, really?
And then they did get in trouble because...
Yeah,
well, why they got in trouble? Because there's always bands who have kind of mimed a bit and so on.
Yeah.
But the problem with Milli Vanilli was that they won a Grammy for Best Vocal Performance and they didn't sing on it, so they had to give the Grammy back.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I think Frank Farian was... Bobby Farrell was singing on it. It was just that Frank Farian took the lead.
But I think he enhanced it a bit.
Think he looked like the front man. That's why. So he stepped back from that. It was Boney M's biggest hit, and they sold over how many records, do you think?
Oh, they sold millions because they were massive in Europe during the 70s. Over 50 million, what do you think?
100 million.
100 million, wow.
Over 100 million records worldwide. In 2006, a musical called Daddy Cool, based on the songs of Boney M, opened in London and ran for a year before going on tour. Oh, I would have liked to have seen that. They should bring that out again. Because everyone loves their music.
One of the first 7-inch singles I ever bought was Boney M.
Was it?
But it was Mar Baker.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah, that is a great song. We'll have to do that. Okay, let's play a Police number. This is Every Little Thing She Does Is Made.